Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ryan Lehrer on WNYC. Now we continue our Oscar series with the directors of the five best documentary nominees. We're doing 5 days in a row. We started on Friday. Today, Imad Bernat and Guy Davidi, directors of Five Broken Cameras. This is a first-person documentary narrated in Arabic by the filmmaker as he protests the building of the Israeli security fence in the West Bank town of Beline, protesting by videotaping the townspeople's daily encounters with Israeli police and with people from the expanding Israeli settlements coming further onto disputed land. So, Imad and Guy, thank you very much for joining us, and congratulations on your Oscar nomination.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Imad, since this is your story, tell our listeners when and why you got the first of your five cameras and why you started recording encounters with Israeli security.
Yeah, I got my first camera in 2005 in the when the village started to protest and to demonstrate against the construction. In the same week, my son Jibril was born, so I wanted to take part of the struggle of the what's happens in my village with my camera, so to film and to document, to follow the events for many purposes. So in the same time, I was filming my son and the family and inside the house, but nobody realized that the village will continue so long time in the struggle and protesting against the construction. So week after week, it's became more strong, and people came from over all the world to participate. Israelis activists and the people gathering to. On Friday to demonstrate against the construction and against the settlement. So I thought that it will be more strong in the next few months. And and people came to make films also. They came to ask for footage because I was there for 24 hours. I lived there, and I was the only one who followed the events and document everything. So I gave them footage. So I started to think about making a filmmaking documentary.
You became the town photojournalist.
Yeah, as in the village, we live in a small town. My village is 1,900 people, so to be there with the camera, the only person with the camera, so it's very important for the people living in the village.
I should mention, by the way, that Five Broken Cameras is currently in a theater in New York. It's at the Quad Cinema. And maybe you can describe Beline a little bit for people who've never been there or seen it. I was struck watching the film by how rural it looked on the Palestinian side of the fence. And as the settlements were being built further and further in on the Israeli side of the fence, how much it looked like a city with high-rise apartment after high-rise apartment building.
Yeah, I remember before 15 years that how's the village and how's the place and the mountain around the village and the valley and the trees. It was very beautiful, and year after year, so it's became more. You see constructions and more houses in the settlement, and the settlement it is getting close and close in the last 15 years. So when you look now from the village around the village, you just see settlements and construction. So we live in a small village and not so big town, and when the decision was taken by the Israeli government to build the wall in the middle of our land, so that's mean we lose about 55% of our land go to the Israeli side. And so that we decide why we decided to protest and to demonstrate against the construction, because we lose everything, the olive trees, the field, and the most of our land, because the plan was to build the fence close to the village, to the houses of the village, that give more space to the settlement to grow up and to make more construction.
Guy Davidi, what's your role in this film? This, again, is Amat's story. Almost all the audio in the film is his first-person narration of what's taking place in Arabic. What's your role?
Yeah, you know, film is an art form. Is you have reality and you have a film, and they are not the same. You have to carve a story from life. And in order to carve this, you have to know how to tell a story. And I think also for me, from coming a bit from outside, was easier to guide Imad through this process, which was very painful for him also, because it became a very personal process at the end. It's important to say I was an activist, an Israeli activist coming to Berlin right in the start of the events in 2005. So I spent a long period of time. I was doing first of my films there also. For my first documentary feature length, I stayed in Berlin for more than 2 months. And for me, this was a very important period to understand what are the consequences of occupation on your personal life, on childhood, on emotional life, on all these issues that afterwards were part of our discussion when we created the narration for Five Broken Cameras and when we decided together to construct the film around Imad's personal life and his family and his son. So I was there with Imad to shape that process of creating the story, of building the story from all the live events, because there are so many live events and so many drama. And at one point, you know, when you see this hundreds of hours of footage, you get, also me, we all got lost in it because everything is dramatic, everything is important. So how can you create and carve a story that has a sense of progress, that this violence and all this suffering means something at the end?
Imad, you got a... the film repeatedly shows you and other people from Berlin being shot or otherwise roughed up by Israeli security forces. It's extremely shocking to watch some of this. You even record the killing of one of your friends because you happen to be shooting. What kind of historical document do you think you have here?
I think I myself was very close many times to be killed because I was shot many times by soldiers and my cameras. And I was recording my friends and my brothers getting arrested by the Israeli army. So for me, it's more than just to film or to document. For me, that was my responsibility to keep filming. And it was my part in the struggle to keep filming for the purpose to show the world and to spread the footage and to make this film. So it's something that connected me to the camera and to the land and to the place, and we related always to the place. So what's going on my village is also related to me and to the camera and to my son and to everyone.
This was reality for you, obviously, much more than movie making.
Yes.
And yet you got a positive review from the New York Times chief film critic A.O. Scott, who called it difficult but necessary viewing, and said it's hard even to review it as a film when it depicts such stark reality and political trauma. But while it is another piece of Israeli-Palestinian advocacy journalism, he says it is also, as a film, a rigorous autobiographical work of art. And I wonder, can you see your film as a work of art in addition to a document of reality as experienced by you and your neighbors?
Yeah, I think it's an art, but it's an art related to the reality. It's more reality. It's more the situation, the daily life. So for me to mix that, the arts and the reality and your feeling to the place and to the situation, to mix them together, so you can make a very strong art and very strong documentary. So it's not just a documentary. So for me, it's life. And many people, when they watch this film, they just get inside the story and they feel inside the story. And even people who watch the story and the film, they feel inside the story. So it's not just a documentary or a film. It's something related to the life and related to the place, and that's what's important. Because it's a story that's tell from personal perspective, from Palestinian perspective, and because there's many films were made by people who came from outside, and so there's not related to the place by their mind or their feeling or
the personal experience.
Yeah, yeah.
My guests on WNYC as we continue our Oscar series with the directors of the 5 Best Documentary nominees, Imad Bernat and Guy Davidi, directors of 5 Broken Cameras. Guy, is it significant that you as his co-director are Israeli and he's Palestinian?
You know, for me, the whole process of making the film is very painful as well, personally, because my role is never understood of how I helped to shape the film, and a lot of artistic decision that made the film what it is, because obviously for Imad it's his own personal story, but for me it was a challenge how to tell that story in a way that will create passion in people, and the way that they will feel committed to the story, and the way how you evoke sincerity, because sincerity is not something that is a given, it's something that you also build in the narration. So the first challenge that I had was that my role will never be understood, and then I will always be put in that label of the Israeli director, in which people are assumed that maybe I'm there just to beautify the film, or maybe I'm there just to bring money or whatever. But I'm part of that story, and I'm, and I think the film is made also in my shape and in my voice and with my tone, and I can delve into that. But this is maybe not the time. So actually, being labeled as the Israeli partner is not very convenient, because I'm because I cannot find my artistic place in mm-hmm. the presentation, and also because the choice when I joined Imad to the project, he invited me, was to empower his voice and to bring out to give a lot of space to tell his story, because this is what is needed politically, and this is what is needed for the story, and so this will also put me in kind of the side. But then after the film was out and released, we had a lot of challenges, because a lot of people want to beautify. Oh, look, this is a nice thing to see that this film is made by an Israeli and Palestinian director. But they are not remembering that I'm there for a cause, and we're doing this collaboration in order to get the film out in Israel, in order to get the film made, and in order to change, to stop occupation, and not just to have kind of a beautiful relationship.
And we should mention that some Israelis also take part in the protests against the fence, as recorded in the film.
I think a lot of films that were done before about the occupation, actually we use the occupation to talk about us Israelis and to go into our self-accusations, our culpability, our morality, and our issues. And in that film, the focus was to bring it back to Palestine. So I wanted the Israeli activists that are very important in this movement to be in a very modest role.
Is it showing, Guy, in Israel?
Yeah, the film was premiered in Jerusalem Film Festival, where it won the Best Documentary Award. It then was shown in Israeli television that were co-producers for the film, and then theatrical release in Israel, and we had good partners such as the Greenhouse Project that helped us to develop the project. So we had good partners, but then again, Israeli society is not an easy society to deal with this kind of voice and this kind of narrative. So we had very, very mixed reactions. The critics like us. A lot of people who come to the film from their own will, they like the film. But the challenge is a very hard challenge. So you hear sometimes really bad reactions, and you have also some kind of really inspiring reactions.
Imad, you mentioned in the film that you got your first camera in 1995 when it was the Oslo, or had your first child in 1995 when it was the Oslo Accords period and hope was in the air. Today, obviously, is very different from all sides' point of view. Does your experience in Berlin leave you with any kind of political solutions in mind? Is it still an Oslo Camp David style two-state solution and you just have to wait for it? Or is it something else now? Or don't you even think about it at that level one way or another?
I'm actually, I was thinking always, and most of the Palestinians, about the agreements and the about the Oslo and other agreements that have been made with the Israelis. And since that, we just see the situation is getting worse and worse and no solution. So we don't think that there's some process or politicians are serious to make peace, especially on the Israeli side. So they just talk about, they negotiate and they talk about peace, but in the end they just talk about security. They don't talk about the center of the story. They don't talk about the you know, the land, the settlement, the water, the borders. They don't mention this. So they just talk about security, about these things. And so this people are not more hopeful about this process of peace and the Oslo and Camp David. So,
and the fact that President Obama now says he's coming to Israel and hopes to convene a Netanyahu-Abbas summit there, and the election in Israel just now where a centrist party did better than expected, does that register with you as a new sign of hope?
I don't think so. That's me. We've been following the Israel election for I'm 41 years old, and I've been following the election for more than 20, 30 years. And you feel that's the same thing and the same policy and the same strategy. And even Obama, if he come to visit in Palestine or to Israel, so I don't know that what's their plans and what. So if they want to make peace and they are serious, so they can make peace from here. So
some supporters of the fence say that while Israel has built it or was building it for its own purposes, it serves a Palestinian purpose in some sense because it defines, in effect, a Palestinian state, a border, and makes it hard to expand settlements further. Any truth to that, in your opinion?
I think for us the plan to build the wall, and since the plan was already before 2000, so they started in 2002, but the purpose to build the wall and to construct the wall, it's not just security. There's many purposes: to confiscate land and to grab more land to build settlements. And you see how the settlements are growing and growing in the West Bank. So that kills the Palestinian dream to build a Palestinian state.
I gather you're going back to Palestine, and Guy, you're going on to L.A. to attend the Oscar ceremonies. What would it mean to you if you actually win the Best Documentary Oscar?
Both of us will be in the Oscars.
Oh, you will. Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Good. I'm glad you both get to go.
I think it has a strong meaning because this is one award that actually the general audience care about. So the reaction right to the nomination was a strong interest in the film from audience that would never look at it in any other way. So this is the first thing that we got just from the nomination. And for me, two practical things that are really practical consequences that shows the power of Oscars is one is that I'm trying to promote the film and to put it in Israeli education system, which is actually has a wall. It's actually much easier probably to get into the Oscar than to put the 5 broken cameras in Israeli schools. And I've created this Indiegogo campaign that in order to create this alternative program to be able to put the film in Israeli high schools to youth before they're going to do their military service, that they will see the consequences of their military service. I've created this beautiful video that document a screening that held with Israeli youth. I think it's worth watching. So you can just go in Indiegogo and look for 5 broken cameras and watch that video or decide to contribute. And the second thing is that my wish is that the film would be shown in commercial TV broadcasts, and that's something that can only be done with the Oscar. So there is a very practical meaning for me.
Iman Bernat and Guy Davidi are directors of 5 Broken Cameras, the latest guests in our Oscar series with the directors of all 5 Best Documentary nominees. The series continues tomorrow with the documentary director of the documentary The Invisible War, And yes, please.
Yeah, just I want to say that I will be back to Los Angeles with my wife and my son Jibril. And my son Jibril, he will be the first Palestinian ever to be in the Oscar. So I hope that the Oscar draw more big attention to the Palestinian situation. So it's if we win the Oscar, so it's going to be the first Palestinian documentary wins the Oscar.
And
so
Jibril is definitely one of the stars of the movie.
He's one of the stars of the movie.
from ages 0 to 5 during the filming period. And it's playing now in New York City at the Quad, also available on iTunes, Hulu, Netflix. Thank you both very much for coming.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, why is the city of New York killing so many cats and dogs? A big new debate about the city's abandoned animal policies is now taking place. Stay with us.